program there. There's a QR code by the title, and you can scan that, and you can pull up. You can pull up there, and you can look at the YouVersion app, which is what a lot of us like to use. It's very, very helpful. If you have a paper Bible, or if somebody around you doesn't have a phone or a tablet, you can share your Bible with them. Man, that'd be great. Gospel of Luke this morning. Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Occasionally I'll preach two or three messages before Easter sometimes, and this time I'm going to get to do kind of a full run-up, and I'm appreciate and excited about that. And so I want to walk us through a few things this morning and get us started. Stand with us if you're willing and able. We'll look at God's Word together. Gospel of Luke and chapter number 9. Gospel of Luke chapter number 9. Look at verse 51. The Bible says, "It came to pass, when the time was come he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Luke's gospel in particular signifies now, even though it will be many chapters, and many chapters he's going to write, the events are set. He is on his way to Calvary. "And he sent messengers before his face. They went, entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him." If you underline and highlight there, because his face was as would he go to Jerusalem. They were hung up on the fact that they had this hybrid kind of a religious system, and he was intent on going here, and also they were not looking for a suffering Savior. They were looking for a deliverer as well. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, will you, we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did?" Anybody like those two guys? Somebody's doing wrong, doesn't like Jesus like we like Jesus. They ought to just die and burn, and man, we just got nothing for them. But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man came and has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." If you're glad God came to save and not to judge on this first time, say amen. And they went on to another village. Would you pray with me? Father, as we start walking toward Calvary, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, for some, this is a reminder, a great refresher. Others may have heard something like this as a young person, as a child. Maybe they're sort of familiar with it. And maybe there's more than a few that they really don't know what we're talking about. Easter and Calvary and the cross and suffering and passion and all these words that religious folks like to throw around. What's it mean? Does it matter? Does it matter to me? And I pray from the Scripture, you'd help us make the compelling case that the message of Easter matters. And it matters to the world, and it ought to matter to us. And I pray you'd do that now. So in these moments, I pray you'd work in hearts. In these moments, Spirit of God, I pray you'd help me preach. And may I speak clearly, enunciate well. But in all of that, I pray that you, the Holy Spirit, the great preacher, preach on the inside while I'm preaching on the outside. And I pray you draw men to yourself. I pray we would lift up Jesus. And I pray we'd be more thrilled than we've ever been that you came and were born to die for my sins and that you rose from the dead on the third day. Help us rejoice. And I pray this, already been prayed, that those that are here that need to, Lord, put their faith and trust in you, that need to turn from their sinful ways and ask you to change their life, that today they would have their life changed. I pray it all in your Son's wonderful name. God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Be seated. A lot of times we talk about Easter, and we use Easter a little bit differently here, and so we use it kind of as an adjective. So I need the sections to help me out quickly this morning. Quickly, and we'll start over here. If I say Easter, and I need you to use as an adjective, what's some things we say that are Easter kind of oriented? There's no wrong answers here. Everybody gets it right. Anybody over here, Easter? Easter Sunday. Yeah, Easter Sunday, that's a good adjective. Very good, very good. If I had candy, I'd give it to you, but Joji took it all from me. And anybody else over here? Easter, anything Easter? What about here in the middle? You had time to think. Easter Bunny. Easter Bunny. Joe gets the prize there. That's the first thing I think of. Everybody says Easter Bunny. Easter Bunny. And we said Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday. Anything else over here? Yeah. Easter eggs. That was my second note there. Easter eggs. All right. All right. You're in the advanced class, Doreen. And all right. Very good. Very good. What about right here? Easter candy. Easter candy. We got Easter candy as well. We got Easter eggs. What else? Palm Sunday. Oh, being real spiritual and religious. Not like these other pagans over here. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We got those kind of things. Anything else? Easter what? Easter baskets. Easter baskets is the third thing I have down there. Yeah, Easter basket. Got to have an Easter basket. So those of you that grew up a little more, with being a family event, nobody said what I thought so far. Easter, huh? Easter dinner. Yeah, Easter dinner. We didn't go to church, but we had Easter dinner. I didn't go to church growing up, but had Easter dinner. And then what's another thing? Anybody else get an Easter outfit somewhere around there? Itchy, scratchy, ill-fitting, couldn't wait to take it off, Easter outfit. Oh, man. And if you didn't grow up like that, that's fine. And if none of these things hit you, but it is kind of funny, the words we put on there about that. And some folks, it's just Easter. There's no Easter this or Easter that. Andrea likes to go to the store after Halloween or Easter or anything, because the Ziploc and all those kind of things like that, they got branded, they got branded for the little holiday, but then they got to get rid of them because nobody wants to buy whatever Christmas Ziploc, in January. So we go get a bunch of stuff. So we'll have those kind of things, floating around the house there for a while, and they're mismatched. But you know what? They work real well, even though they were just pennies on the dollar. Some folks like, no, it's just Easter. And then some folks like, Easter is awful. And you've been on some web blog or somewhere, or some fellow looked in a camera from his mama's basement, and made a YouTube video and said, Easter is bad. And all these kind of things. I'm just being silly there. And they've kind of got that, or they borrowed this. And so I'm not talking about any of those kind of things. And if you need a little help, maybe I can help you. Would it surprise you, and if you've got the notes there, would it surprise you that Easter actually has to do with some of these things? Easter actually has to do with shame. Jesus is there in the garden. He pulls the disciples apart. Then he gets through the disciples and says, hey, tarry with me here. And they don't, while I go pray, he prays in agony. There's a medical expression where the capillaries actually begin to explode underneath the skin, and they mingle there with the sweat glands. And you can in a sense of an hydrosis there, you can actually secrete blood and sweat. And he's in such agony and such pain. That's what's going on. While he's doing that, they're taking a nap. When he comes back to him, he rebukes him. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And the disciples are full of shame. That's a part of the Easter story. The disciples are scared. They come arrest Jesus, and everybody scatters. Peter stays far enough. He can keep an eye on Jesus, but then ultimately does what? Deny him, uses ugly language, denies him. There is great sorrow because Jesus died. They are there. They come beg for his body. The ladies come. They don't come to see a risen Savior. They come to pay their last respects with things that cost some of them perhaps a year's earnings, to do their last bit of farewell, hoping they can find someone to roll the stone away. These are overwhelmed with sorrow those 3 days. They are absolutely, positively shameful. They're scared. They're sorrowful. Judas Iscariot, racked with guilt, and over again as God, through the person, or God, Jesus gives Judas opportunity to repent, and he doesn't take it. And then he turns Jesus over to the soldiers, and we see all of those kind of things. And Judas will end up taking his own life. He tries to give the money back, and they take the money and they buy this field for him, and he hangs himself. And it's just awfulness. They're scared. You see salvation. See the plan of God fulfilled, salvation accomplished. Sometimes we talk about Easter, and we only talk about Easter eggs and meals and clothes and brunches, but it's about salvation. Then we see the awfulness of sin. Everything about Easter screams at us about the awfulness of sin, from Jesus being beaten with a cat of nine tails, to Jesus being impaled by the crown of thorns, to Jesus being buffeted as the soldiers took the heel of their hand and they struck him and played the game. Tell us, prophet, who hit thee? Everything about this. When we're talking about Easter, we're talking about so many things, and so many things maybe our culture has colored the wrong way that don't really have anything to do with it. So why talk about this? Why talk about the journey? Why talk about these kind of things here? Because this is all of this beginning, and it starts here in Luke chapter 9 as we are on our way toward that place we love to call Calvary, or they call Golgotha, or the place of the skull. Everywhere where everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. I want to give you a couple of things, and I want to give you some ways why you ought to care about the message of Easter and why the message of Easter matters. If you're still with me, say amen. I mean, just quickly. Number one, the Easter story didn't happen. It's a plan of God. Look at verse 51 there. Jesus goes south. He goes from Galilee to Jerusalem. They minister in Samaria. Verse 51, it says he was received up or taken up. Taken up. It's the same word that's going to be used here. Everything's pointing here to his ascension. Everything's pointing here to his crucifixion, his ascension. He is now going to move his way up this way. He is headed toward the cross. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 9, verse 22, the Bible says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be slain, be raised the third day." People say Jesus never claimed to be God, never claimed to do anything. He claims it all the time. Those are such ignorant statements. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Luke 9:31, "Who appeared in glory, spake of his decease, which should accomplish at Jerusalem." He knew he was going to die. He was headed to die. He was there for the redemption of our sins. Genesis chapter 3, I gave that to your notes. "I will put enmity, division, hardship between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It'll bruise his head, now shall bruise heel." We call this the first gospel, the proto-evangelium. This is the first time where he hints at it. And this son that would be born to the woman, his heel would be bruised, but it would crush the head of Satan and break the power of sin in our lives. Psalm 22, verse 1, that messianic psalm looking forward. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring there? Genesis 22, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering." And all the way in Genesis, we're looking forward to the time when God would not just provide a lamb as an animal, but the spotless Son of God, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. If you're glad for that, say it this morning. Amen this morning. Isaiah 7:14, excuse me. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive, bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1 records that, quoting Isaiah. "And she'll bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, and save his people from their sins." Or fulfillment, rather, of Isaiah 7:14. Everything was here. It didn't happen. He's not accidentally arrested. He's not incidentally in Jerusalem. He's not there when everything is lined up that way. Everything has been and has gone according to the plan of God. The message of Easter matters because all the prophecies coalesce. Some have suggested, you've heard us use this illustration before, talking about the rarity and the fact that these are just educated guesses. And scientists have developed this little analogy, and they said if you took enough silver dollars to cover the state of Texas, cover it 6 feet deep, and you took one silver dollar and put a red dot on that silver dollar and dropped it randomly, the odds that you would wade through the state of Texas, stick your hand in that pile of silver dollars and pull out the one with the red dot on it is exactly the same odds that the prophecies of the scriptures are true. When God said it was going to happen this way, it happened this way. Everything happened. Everything was according to God's plan. Didn't just happen. Secondly there, and with me quickly here because I want to get to these. The Easter story demands a response, and this is where I want to part. The Easter story demands a response. Verse 52. "Sent messengers before his face. They went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him." Why? Because they had their own worship. They had this hybrid paganism, Judaism. They had their own temple. By the way, people still don't like the message of Easter. They don't mind bunnies. They don't mind eggs. They don't mind new outfits. They don't mind Easter brunch. I've clicked on something somehow where I am being bombarded, and I know how to fix it. I know how to fix it. I know how to get different ads. Anyway, I've been bombarded with things advertising alcoholic Easter brunches. You want to talk about the wrong target audience? Those are wasted ads. Somebody spending money on to show them to me, and I know what it was because I was looking for something. I was looking for an idea, and I searched for something, and I think that's what set off these keywords. But I know what it is. I know what it is because if there's anything more aggressive than that, if I go look for a dress for Andrea, I'll see those ads from now to Kingdom Come. So I know how to clear up my algorithm. But I was saying, what in the world? When in the world did we ever think getting sloshed out of your gourd at 11:30 on Easter Sunday was the way to celebrate the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection? But apparently that's what the algorithm thinks that everybody's interested, at least for me, because I clicked on something else. Well, we're here. We're looking. It demands a response. You and I get to respond. We get to respond with faith. We get to respond with repentance. We get to respond saying, it doesn't matter to me. But look at what James and John said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? That's cable news response, isn't it? We must destroy those people who disagree with it. That's AM radio response. That's the crazy people who spend all their time typing things online. And they're just always mad and angry. Anybody work with anybody just mad and angry all the time? You know, it's crazy. You know, people talked about, man, you know, I always laugh about some of these kind of things. You know, it's a government's fault. Well, it might be, but some of it's your fault. It's your lot in life. My dad grew up around people. He always liked to say, the little man can't get ahead. My dad hated that expression. It's like, little man can't get ahead because little man won't get out of bed. That's why a little man can't get out of ahead. Some of you are like, anyway, just this and just that and just the other. No, it might be just a big bag of your fault. But blaming other people, man, doesn't help you. And they're saying, hey, let me do that. And I love that. I love that. Jesus said, no. Son of Man's come to seek and to save those who are lost. It's one of the things I say. You can watch Fox News, CNN, whatever you want to do, MSNBC, whatever it's called now. You can do all those kind of things. You can stay worked up all you want. And by the way, I'm for patriotism. I'm for saving the culture. I'm for all those kind of things. But I can't do all that in a steady diet and hate those people. I need those people to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. People act the way they act because they're lost. Somebody say amen. And lost people need a Savior. They are headed to judgment. And you and I were headed to judgment. Somebody loved us enough to tell us about the Lord. We didn't need fire from heaven. That comes, the judgment comes later. We've got an opportunity to repent now. It demands a response. Why are we doing what we do? Why would we spend the money that we spend? Why would we encourage you to invite people and you get invitation cards? Lord willing, they'll come in this week and we'll give them to you. Why would we do that? Because it demands a response. And here's why it matters more than you may think. Verse 54 there. And when the disciples saw that, Lord, do you want to command them? Jesus rebuked them. Verse 55, you know not what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save them. It matters. Why will we spend the time? Why will we pause our series? Why will we do this? Because it matters. Number one, because Christmas is really about Easter. The shadow of the cross is against the manger in Bethlehem. He was not born to be good examples. Good examples don't claim to be God. He wasn't born to model things. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He was born to die. Luke 9:51. He set his face. He is going to Jerusalem. He is going to die. Christmas, in all the ways our culture has messed it up, we forget Christmas is about Easter. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. His first message, he echoes John the Baptist. I am come, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Over and over again, calling men to relationship with himself. Christmas is really about Easter. I like the sentimentality. I like all those things. I'm not telling you to throw all that. I'm telling you to remind you that Christmas is about Easter. If you get everything else and don't get that, you have messed up so badly. Number two, you. I just left this in here. It's in my notes. Messy, sinful, baggage. You matter to God. Drunk out of your gourd Friday night, you matter to God. Stepped out on your spouse, you matter to God. Lost your mind, dropped about 18 F-bombs driving on the way to church this morning, you matter to God. You matter to God. Giant hypocrite, great big phony, If everybody knew who you were, they wouldn't have anything to do with you. You matter to God. Religious person, irreligious person, you matter to God. Where do we get in our head that the nice folks with their act together, that's the one God really likes, and the folks with all the stuff, they don't matter to God? Where do we get that? Where do we start acting that way? Why do we start acting like James and John? Call down fire on them, Lord. Partly because we've forgotten what it was like because we were the ones who should have had fire called down on Pilate. We were the ones who hated him and blasphemed him. We were the ones looking at the pornography. We were the ones. We were the ones so involved in our sin. You matter to God. Easter screams at us. You and you and you and you and you. You matter to him. You matter to the master. If you're glad for that this morning, say amen. Number three. I gave them all to you. Number three. Sin, not a little flaw, separates you from God. You have to deal with your sin. Either you pay for your sin, and that silly expression, you'll spend eternity trying to pay for your sin. And again, that's the best we can do in language, but it doesn't make any sense. Or you can take what God did on the cross of Calvary for your sin. Sin separates you from God. Has there been a time or a place where you said, Lord, I am sorry for my sin. I've rebelled against you. I've done this, but I'm asking you to change my life. Forgive me my sin. Help me now to live for you and to love you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. There's never been a time. You can be free today. You can be clean today. It ain't literally any bitty problem. I remember it was 6 years ago last week. I ended one of my courses and with my illness. And I remember pushing the doctor. Surgery, you know, everything was so serious. Why can't I have surgery? These other people had surgery for what they had. And he just looked at me. He said, one, you won't survive the surgery. He said, surgery works better on people that are alive. He said it with his gallows humor. I was like, okay, that makes sense. He said, you won't survive the surgery. Number two, he said, even if we get the big chunks, he said, it's not just the big chunks. It's the small stuff. It's the microscopic stuff. We can't get that. And he said, so what we got to do is we got to kill it all. So, no, you can't have surgery. Oh, and then three, he said, we'd have to do surgery from here to here. He said, we don't usually do surgeries on 60, 70% of your body. He said, again, you won't survive. You're going to have to trust that this is it and this we're going to go. We're not trying to contain it. We're trying to kill it. I said, kill it. Good job. You know, we get that on a medical level. Let me help you on a spiritual level. You don't need to contain it. You don't need reformation. You don't need to do a little better. You don't need to try a little harder. You need to kill it. And the only way to kill it, the only way to get rid of it is through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin in the world. And when it is applied to your life and to my life, sin, the problem that we have, the lack of righteousness that we have, can be taken care of. Number four, Easter lets us know why good works don't work. God plays by his own rules, right? Sin must be punished. Sin was punished. I can do better. I can get a religious trinket. I can get a bracelet. I can do some things. That's all fine. But it didn't make you right with God. You and I have infinitely offended an infinitely holy God, and we owe an infinite debt. And you and I are not capable of doing that. There's not enough good works in the world. I was looking at some photos time before last, I was in Brazil, and I was there at a place, and they'd done the stanchions of the cross, and someone had taken it, and people were hugging and kissing on so much, they actually built rooms around them. These are outdoor statues. They built rooms around them, and then they encased them in bars. And folks, the bars were too big. Folks were crawling through, so they had to make the bars more narrow. It was almost impossible to kind of photograph them, so they sold photographs. These were locked doors. But they'd done it up a hillside, and so you would walk from one of these different areas where of Jesus' passion the night, going back to the garden. And people hoping to be right with God, they would disrobe And they would climb up. It was a rocky cliff. They would climb up on their knees, and the rocks there were soaked and discolored with blood from the people who thought that they would get favor with God by climbing up from place to place, looking where he got the thorns, looking at the soldiers acting out the beating, these different statues that have been carved and images that have been made, that God would be pleased by the blood and the awfulness and the agony of trying to go basically about 150 feet up on their knees on these rocks. All our righteousness, Isaiah said, are as filthy rags compared to the holiness of God. Good works do not work. Number five, gives you the heart and the plan of God. If we're not real careful, we're fire and judgment. Fire and judgment's coming, not right now. Right now is grace. Right now is mercy. Right now is your opportunity. Pray for people. Right now is your opportunity to invite. Right now is your opportunity to say, hey, I know something that you don't know. I know somebody that loves you. I know something about your sin. That coworker driving you crazy, it may be they need Jesus. That person in your life who just drives you to distraction, maybe they need Jesus. Maybe the things in your life that you think are absolute aggravations are opportunities. We talked about it in Sunday school. The providences of God, the divine appointments of God. I believe the Lord put my wife where she's at on purpose so she can talk to folks about Christ. I believe you are employed somewhere where you get an opportunity to talk to people about Christ. Every opportunity, everything. Lord, what do you want me to do to help me have a gospel conversation today? Why? It's the heart and the plan of God. He has come to save men. That's the message of Easter. I gave you a little thing. I'm done. Prince of Preachers. This is a little article I found by Ray Comfort years ago. I've kept it. I love reading. We need to be ashamed at the bare suspicion of unconcern. Who have you prayed for this week who needs Jesus? Not being mean to you, I'm just asking. Who you prayed for in the last 2 weeks who need Christ? Who? The love of a Christian cannot be apathetic about the salvation of the world. The love of God in him will motivate him to seek and to save that which was lost. You have the sobering responsibility of speaking to other people's loved ones. Somebody you know, man, that's somebody's brother, sister, mom, or dad. Keep the fate of the ungodly before your eyes. He didn't say there wouldn't ever be any judgment. It just wasn't time for judgment. Jesus is the friend of sinners, not for nothing. By the way, Paul in his missionary journey will go back here, it says, and will preach, and they do listen and they do receive him. Why? Because God wasn't done with the Samaritan. I'm thankful he's not done with you or I or your loved ones or your co-workers or your neighbors. It's a plan of God. He loves you. He died for you. You and I, heaven is a wonderful benefit. And heaven's not our need. Righteousness is our need. We need righteousness, and they need righteousness. By the way, if you're here and you're still on the outside looking in, what's stopping you today? It's the plan of God for your life. Sinner, messed up, baggage, guilt, shame, cross, freedom, forgiveness, relationship, righteousness. Everything is different because of Easter. And everything can be different in your life and in your family's life. In your friend's life, because Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, and never sinned, really did die on the cross for our sins, really was buried, really did rise again, and offers freedom, hope, and forgiveness to all who would come to him in saving faith, believing, and he will change their life just like he did theirs and just like he can yours. The message of Easter matters. Pray with me, Father. We love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunities of the day. Thank you for the hope of the gospel. And I pray we latch on to it. And so, Lord, today, we kick off this series. We kick off these thoughts as we join you as you set your face now to Jerusalem. Would you help us this morning? Would you inspire us? Would you thrill us? Would we dream again, Lord, that our brother and our sister, Lord, our stepbrother and stepsister, Lord, our family, our friends, our coworkers, that their life can be changed. That, Lord, as long as they have breath, Lord, there's hope and opportunity. And that, Lord, even though judgment awaits, Father, it is not now. Now is hope. Now is opportunity. Now is grace. So Lord, for those who are come in just a moment, and they'll pray for family, I pray we'd see the family come to Christ this Easter season. For those who come and they've got co-workers who need you, give them boldness, give them help, give them hope, draw them to yourself. Preach on the inside, Lord, while they're inviting on the outside. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, you are the God who changes everything. You are the God who was born to die. You are the God who came, and your greatest gift, it was yourself, the Son of God. So inspire us this morning. Thrill us with the hope of the gospel, that you can and will change anyone's life. And I pray you do that now. And help us. Help those who need to understand, need to receive your free gift. I pray they do that today. I pray in your